Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, and all glories to the listening devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 17 and 18. Prema, love, Atibhara, excessive. Nirbhina, especially distinguished. Pulaka, feelings of happiness. Anga, different bodily parts. Ati, nirvrita, being fully overwhelmed. Ananda, ecstasy. Samplave, in the ocean of. Linaha, absorbed in. Na, no. Apashyam, could see. Ubhayam, both. Muni, oh, yes. Premati bara nirbhina. Premati bara nirbhina.
Premati bara nirbhina.
Ula kango ti nirvritaha. Kango tinirvrita Ananda samplavelino
Ananda samplavelino
Napashyam ubhayam mune
Napashyam ubhayam mune
Premati bhara nirbhina
Premati bhara nirbhina
Kula kango tinirvrita Ananda samplavelino
Ananda samplavelino
Napashyam ubhayam mune
Napashyam ubhayam mune Premati bhara nirbhina
Premati bhara nirbhina Kango tinirvita
Ananda samplavelino
Ananda samplavelino
Apashyam
ubhayam mune Premati bhara nirbhina Kango tinirvrita
Ananda samplavelino
Ananda samplavelino Apashyam ubhayam mune Translation. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlightened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narad Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord. Because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became separately enlightened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narad Muni lost himself and seen both himself and the Lord simultaneously. Text 18. Rupam Bhagavato Yathan. Manaha Kantam Suchapaham. Apashyan Sahaso Toste. Vaiklavya Dhurmana Eva. Translation. The transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire, and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed. As is usual when one loses that which is desirable. That the Lord is not formless is experienced by Narad Muni, but his form is completely different from all forms of our material experience. For the whole duration of our life, we go see different forms in the material world, but none of them is just apt to satisfy the mind, nor can any one of them banish all perturbance of the mind. These are the special features of the transcendental form of the Lord. A one who has once seen that form is not satisfied with anything else. No form in the material world can any longer satisfy the seer. That the Lord is formless or impersonal means that he has nothing like a material form and is not like any material personality. As spiritual beings, having eternal relations with that transcendental form of the Lord, we are, life after life, searching after that form of the Lord. And we are not satisfied by any form, any other form of material appeasement. Narad Muni got a glimpse of this, but having not seen it again, he became perturbed and stood up all of a sudden to search for it. What we desire life after life was obtained by Narad Muni, and losing sight of him again was certainly a great shock. Om Gyanate Manasya Gyananjana Shavata Sakshun Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavitamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamaya Yadari Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikanta Radhakanta Namaste Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchakta Adishatara Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dhar Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this great conversation continues with the two exalted personalities, both incarnations, plenary incarnations of the Lord, Srila Vyasadeva acting as student, and Narad Muni as the spiritual master. So we were at this scene when the question came about. Vyasadeva asks, how is it that time wears away everything, but yet you were able to remember past times from a previous day of Brahma? That is certainly astounding. That's not heard of. See, and then Narad starts to explain his life history, which is extraordinary. Bewildering. He was the son of a maidservant. 5 years when he was 5 years old, he experienced the calamity of losing his mother. And in that situation, it's stated that when the Lord wants to favor someone, he takes away the thing that is dearmost. So his only guide and help, his mother, was taken away from him. He took that as the mercy of the Lord and started to travel to the north, to so many places, farms and cities and forests. He ended up in a forest which was the playground for snakes and jackals. Then he would go into meditation, as he had heard from the Paramahamsas. He had served them briefly. He took the remnants only once, it stated. And he became fully purified. So when he was in the forest, he decided to perform the process of meditation that he had heard from the great souls. And within a short time, like just a very short time, not long, something that takes sages thousands of years to accomplish, Narada was able to accomplish it in a moment. Valmiki meditated upon the Lord for 60,000 years before he reached enlightenment. And many other yogis meditated for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. And Narad Muni, in just a short moment, was able to envision the Lord. Not only the Lord, but he was able to envision himself also. We're not talking about this body, but we're talking about the real self within the heart. And this is where he answers and he solves that highly philosophical question. Has anyone seen the self or the soul? I mean, it's a big scientific question now. The scientists with all their instruments cannot perceive this soul. They cannot fathom to even comprehend the nature of the soul with all their microscopes and all their other advanced instruments. They are unable to even get a glimpse of the symptoms of the soul. So they blatantly deny it. But here, Narad Muni has solved that question. When he went into meditation, he saw himself and he saw the beautiful form of the Lord. See? And so this question is solved. Because many times it's been asked, has anyone seen the soul? Has anyone seen the self? No, you know, and so there's doubt. But right here we've seen that Narada. So he said that as soon as he saw the Lord, he felt into ecstasy. His senses went into ecstatic mode. And in that ecstasy, he lost vision of the Lord. He lost vision of the Lord. And then immediately he tried again, but he couldn't perceive him. And so he opened his eyes. He was somewhat disturbed. It's stated like when one got something very valuable and then loses it, one becomes disturbed. See? So Srila Prabhupada within the purport is saying that this form of the Lord, there are 8,400,000 different forms. But this form is above all and is super special because it is the unique form. This is the most complete form, the most beautiful form in the whole creation. This is the topmost form in the whole creation. The most astounding, most bewildering of forms. And when one sees that, then one loses sight of everything else. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the form of the Lord, actually he also was 5 years old when he went to meditation. When he saw that form, he said, "Oh my Lord, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but I found a rare gem." All his desires from kingdom higher than Brahmalok was vanquished when he saw the form of the Lord. He no longer wanted it. Because he had desired to see that form, then the Lord, because he had desired to gain the kingdom of the special kingdom, the Lord awarded him Dhruva Loka. See? So this form is so unique and so attractive that when the senses see that form, they become ecstatic, they want to get into service. They go into service mode. The hands, the legs, the eyes, the ear, the nose, the tongue, everything get into service mode. It's stated that in the spiritual world, the senses are fully purified. And in that state, they always want to serve the Lord. So we also, by engaging the service of the Lord and by chanting the holy names, our senses are also becoming purified. And so we should want to utilize them in serving the Lord. See, even in this so-called shutdown that we're in right now, it's a time for us to utilize our senses to render more service to the Lord. Hearing, listening, chanting, glorifying the Lord, whatever. For me, I use extra time to cultivate a little garden for the Lord. See, so there's no boredom there. You know, myself and another wonderful devotee called Bharat. He has helped us to start a wonderful garden of the Lord. You see, so within this shutdown, I started when this vineyard started, and I've grown so many lovely vegetables. So we can utilize our senses in so many ways. There's no room for boredom. See, the whole world, you see how they're panicking and they're wondering what's going to happen and so forth. But for the devotees, we understand, and not only that, we understand that everything is controlled by the Lord. Everything is working under His control. See? And so even what is going on now is under the control of the Lord. It's not like happening by chance that something started in China and then there's no control. But everything is controlled by the Lord. What he said, Maya Dyakshina Prakriti, Maya Dyakshina Prakriti. Everything is working under the direction of me. You see? So nothing moves without the sanction of the Lord. And so we have to see it as this is the will of the Lord, and we have to accept it. Take the necessary precautions and go about life, because we know also because of the force of karma, then from time to time Mother Earth becomes overboard, and then something is done to alleviate this burden of the earth. So anyhow, back to the to the story of Narad and Vyas. So Narad has seen the Lord, and now he has lost that sight, and he is a little distraught. Srila Prabhupada says that when he saw the Lord and when his senses went into that ecstatic mode, he said that feeling can never be experienced within this material world. That type of ecstasy cannot be experienced in this world. That ecstasy is for the spiritual world. For one who has purified senses, he is able to experience that type of a feeling, that narrow temporary experience. And so we cannot compare it with anything. In Harinam, in Kirtan, in service, in Japa and stuff, we get some taste, we get some ecstatic moments, but it's not like this. When one is in the transcendental world, serving the Lord with purified senses, it's a different. So that was the point that Srila Prabhupada made within the purport. And so we are all striving for that ecstasy. But that would only come when we become purified and return to the spiritual world. And within the other purport, he speaks about the form of the Lord. That form is beautiful. It's not impersonal. The Lord does has an impersonal nature. Kleshotikatara station. It's stated there that those who are attracted to his impersonal nature, then advancement is very troublesome. See, so one should. So he does have an impersonal nature, but his real nature is this personal form, beautiful, adoring. See, and so. This form was described by Narada himself. Maybe I would ask you, anyone who could answer this question, where he was speaking about this. He stated, prasada bi mukham shashvat prasana vadanne kshanam sunasam subruvam charu pokalam sura sundara. That voice rings a bell. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude to the devotees. And to the devotees, he is never displeased, and he is always prepared to give benedictions. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose, and his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than even the demigods. The Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every body part is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul. And anyone so fortunate to look at him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. He has the mark of Sri Vatsa, which is the sitting place of the goddess of fortune, and his bodily hue is deep bluish. He is the supreme person and wears a flower garland, and he eternally manifests with four hands holding a conch, wheel, club, and lotus flower. The entire body of Vasudeva is decorated. He wears a valuable jewel helmet, necklaces, and bracelets. His neck is adorned with Kastuba jewel, and he is dressed in yellow garments. He is decorated with small golden bells around his waist, and his lotus feet are decorated with golden ankle bells. All his bodily features are attractive and pleasing to the eyes. He is always peaceful and calm and quiet and very pleasing to the eyes and mind. This is the form the yogis meditate on. Can anyone say when this took place, when this conversation took place? This was where Narada was explaining to Dhruva Maharaj the feature of the Lord that he should meditate on. See? Because when Juha Maharaj was bewildered with what happened at home with his stepmother and him, he wanted a great kingdom. So to get it really, then he was told by his mother to seek the mercy of the Lord. And so then Narada heard about this, and Narada went and explained to him what the Lord looks like. So this supreme feature, this most supreme feature, is the description here. See, and even though we hear about it, because we have never really seen that perfected feature, it's not so easy to grasp it. See? In this world, most of the world is actually full with impersonalism. They don't have a clear concept of the Lord. Especially because of the teachings of Shankaracharya and Vivekananda and Aurobindo and so many of these other Mayavadis. They have polluted the world. And even some of the teachings that came to the West promoted this impersonal aspect of the Lord. And so because of that, the world is filled with impersonalism and voidism. I mean, even within the whole Islamic culture, there's no concept of the Lord, none whatsoever. He's an impersonal concept. Even within Christianity, I mean, except for the form of Jesus, but they still hold that the Lord is spiritual, cannot be comprehended, cannot be seen or known or whatever. So this whole impersonalism pervades this whole world. And so Srila Prabhupada brought this message of personalism. And then we're reading from Bhagavatam itself, speaks about this personal feature of the Lord. This is the topmost feature. This personal aspect is the topmost, and it's the most relishable of the two. Lord Krishna also explains within the Bhagavad Gita of the two forms, his personal form is superior. You know, and then in that verse, Klesha Dikakara Station, he says that his impersonal feature is troublesome to attain. So with this in mind, we have to enlighten the world about this personal feature. When Parikshit had seen the Lord within the womb, when Parikshit had seen the Lord within the womb of his mother, Uttara, if you remember when Ashwatthama threw that Brahmastra weapon, it actually even went into the womb of Uttara and was going to kill that child. But the Lord went there with his club in a small form. The Lord was there. And he protected Parikshit. So when Parikshit saw that form when he came out of the womb, he was looking for that form all over. Actually, Parikshit means the examiner. The examiner, the one who examines everything to find that beautiful form. That beautiful form. Sa esha loke vaikyattaha Parikshit itayat prabhu purvam drishtam anudhyayam Parikshita naresh eha. So his son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, the examiner, because he would examine all human beings in a search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus he could come to constantly contemplate him. So Parikshit, when he saw that form, he was looking for it everywhere in the world. And Srila Prabhupada states that we are looking for that form, because that is the form that satisfies the mind's desire. The mind is always hankering. The mind is always... But when the mind sees that form, it becomes pacified. That form wipes out all incongruities, all doubts, all speculation, all whatever within the mind dictates. That form satisfies and appeases the mind. It's stated that Uddhava at the age of five, he was so attracted to that form that he would not even want to take his breakfast. Remember, Yaha Pancha Hayano Matra Pratar Asaya Yachitaha. He was one who, even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for breakfast, he did not wish to have it. He would be serving the Lord. And we saw so many personalities, Prahalad Maharaj. Many personalities at very young age, actually stated at the age of five. I wonder why that is so significant. Dhruva at the age of five went to meditate on the Lord. Narada at the age of five. Uddhava at the age of five was constantly attracted. Prahalad Maharaj at the age of five was preaching ecstatically. And we know Parikshit, from the age of a baby, he was looking for that form. So all these great personalities. And actually Narada also influenced their life personally. All these great personalities, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahalad Maharaj, Uddhava, the Pandavas and so forth. Narada influenced all their lives and enlightened them, seek the shelter of the Supreme. Actually, Narada is the universal preacher. We're preaching maybe in a little state or a little county or whatever, but Narada preaches throughout the universe. He is throughout the Bhagavatam, within the Ramayana, within the Mahabharata, he's all there, all the time. The celestial spaceman preaches everywhere. He instigates Chitraketu into great realization. There was another king called Srinijaya. There was a beautiful story with Srinijaya. He wanted a son, but he wanted a son that would pass gold for stolen urine. He wanted his son to pass gold instead. So Narada gave him the blessings. But when he got the blessings, then some robbers took the child and killed him. And then the king's desire was destroyed. His happiness was torn to smithereens. And so he started to lament again, and then Narada enlightened him. The same thing with Chitraketu. He wanted a son, and Narada told him what would happen. So Narada is the big universal preacher. And so this katha is wonderful, and we should pay keen attention, especially in this special time, focus, and we can achieve great benefit. So I'll stop here if there's any comment or question. Or chastisement. Any chastisement, Prana Govinda?
There's a question. Hare Krishna. So who is in control of the devotee's ecstatic feelings? Is it both the devotees and the Lord at the same time?
Well, ecstatic feelings come when you engage in intense devotional service. As we become purified, of course it is also the Lord's input, and it's also our input of purification. By becoming purified, the senses become more attuned with their constitutional position as servants of the Lord. And as the senses are more purified, one gets higher taste. You see, even with blunt senses, that ecstasy does not come easily, but with purified senses. So, like in the sense of Narada was not, we can say he was not completely purified. It's stated when he took the prasadam of the Paramahamsas, it stated that he became purified, completely purified. But we know that the Lord, when he told him, O Narada, that I appeared to you just to satisfy and encourage you. But the Lord in the same voice said that one who is not purified in service cannot attain me easily. There is a special force. It stated, Yama dibir yoga patai kama loba hatomuhu mukunda sevaya yarva tatatmada na samyati. It is true that by restraint of the senses, by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul, for this is derived from devotional service to the personality of God. See, so when one engages seriously in the service of the Lord, then one gets that inner satisfaction. So coming back to the question, it is both the Lord and the devotee that we get that ecstatic feelings. See? Because through our endeavor, through our service, and then through the Lord's mercy. You would like to add something, friend? Take off your okay, well, it's distorting your voice. It is us that needs to.
I'm saying that the Lord already, what Lord has to sanction, that sanction is already done. Mm-hmm. It's not, Lord is not waiting to sanction.
Okay.
It is our two things will produce the result. One is intensity and the other is purity.
Intensity and purity, very good. Thank you.
That's what I said.
One second. Yes, Guru Prasad Mataji with her philosophical question.
Thank you very much, guys. They said the form, the name, paraphernalia of Krishna, they're all equal. Right? Is that right?
The form.
Equal level.
Yeah?
They're all equal level. They're all absolute.
But they're not
all equal.
Oh, they're not all equal. Well, then my question is probably relevant. Because I was thinking, by chanting and seeing the Lord, there must be a difference, because Narada Muni was so excited when he saw the Lord. He didn't get the same excitement when he was chanting. Is when he was angry. Because when he saw the Lord, he was so ecstatic, he wanted to see the Lord again. That's the object of meditation. That's why the yogis meditate. They want to see the form of the Lord. So is there a subtle difference between the form of the Lord and the chanting of the Lord?
Well, it's stated that his names and the Lord are actually non-different. And in purified senses, we can experience that. But when the senses are still covered, then we don't experience that equality, so to speak. But the names are non-different from the Lord. It is the Lord, but we in our contaminated condition or covered condition, we cannot experience it. But when one is fully purified, he experiences full satisfaction in chanting and seeing the Lord and solving the Lord different ways. You want to add something, Frank?
No,
what you say that you feel ecstasy in chanting, I mean, maybe it might not be the same. She wants to know if it's the same as seeing that personal form, that direct form. chanting the glories and the names of the Lord. Is it same as seeing the Lord face to face? That's all. What is it?
He is going to the forest to see the Lord. So his intention was not experiencing the ecstasy. His intention was to see the Lord. So the Lord gave him one glimpse. Because after that darshan, Lord says, "You will not see me anymore." Because he needs two things. His intensity was not as strong.
And then also he was a little boy, so the Lord wants to encourage him, you know. I mean, at 5 years old, you sit in a forest where is the playground for snakes and jackals, and you're meditating, you know. I mean, the Lord definitely had to intervene and encourage him, you see, because... That's true, you know, but no, my point was at that situation, you know, with Narad Muni, you know, he's in that forest all by himself and everything, you know, I mean, yogis would have to meditate for 60,000 years, 50,000 years, but the Lord at least shortly, as soon as he went into meditation, the Lord gave him that, the sight of him really, and so he felt into a static mood. So, chanting in our purified situation, when we're purified, we experience the name as non-different from the Lord. But maybe in this situation, we just take in theory that it is the same as the Lord. But
we always say the goal, the means of the goal and the end is the same. I mean, chanting to get more chanting.
Yeah.
So if that's the same, when we actually have darshan of the Lord, it should be the same as chanting. But we saw that when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he was ecstatic. Narada Muni saw the Lord, he was ecstatic. These are young children. But great yogis, they're meditating in their heart. They see Krishna in their heart. Right? And they're chanting the goal. So they've already achieved the goal in one sense. And is that what makes the goal and the names are the same? The name of the Lord and seeing the Lord is the same?
Yeah, definitely. Like when Lord Chaitanya was saying that prayer, "Oh Lord, when would the hairs of my body stand on end, and when would I tears flow from my eyes when I chant the name?" You see, so because that is definitely possible. The same ecstatic mood, Dhruva, experience and seeing the Lord, you can experience that in chanting the names also. Because Lord Chaitanya is asking the question, when would that time come when the hairs on my body stand on end and tears flow from my eyes? You see? So that is also there to be experienced. We can experience the names, right? As like the form of the Lord.
So actually, it's pure chanting we're trying to get.
Yeah.
We chant the name of the Lord purely, then our hair will stand on end.
Yeah.
Our eyes will flow with tears.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless we get that, then that's probably non-different. That's the point that's non-different from the seeing the Lord.
Yeah.
Pure chanting, because we're still chanting with offenses and that. So that's why seeing the Lord and chanting is a difference right now, because we're not on the pure stage of chanting. Is that?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll stop here and thank you for listening at home, and I hope I have not bored anyone or offend anyone, and use this special time to engage nicely in the service of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.